Grand Performance, USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang, this is Hi Averback, breaking the seal on another Command Performance. Yes, sir, here comes a half hour of laughs and stuff in answer to all those letters, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And here to make your Hallicrafts as happy as a man that dozens of you have asked for more of. It's not Bob Hope, not Bing Crosby, not Clark Gable, but the man you would all agree is not Peter Lind Hayes!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And as for you, High Everback, you can speak plainer than that. But if you do, you may have to eat your words the hard way with my fingers around your throat.
At that, High, there are a lot of people I'd sooner not be.
Name one. John L. Lewis.
Why?
How can that guy make friends? With those eyebrows, you don't know if he's winking at you or brushing you off. Well, Pete, who would you like to be?
Another Crosby.
Why not Sinatra?
Are you serious? That's impossible. There wasn't enough material to go around when they made the first one.
Well, what makes you think you could be another Crosby? You're not the boo-boo-boo-boo type.
Oh, really? Next time I sing, just listen to the audience.
Speaking of singers, it's time to introduce a real singer. Ladies and gentlemen, the charming and talented vocalist, Mary Healy.
Ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Hi. That was a nice introduction. You were very generous.
So was nature.
Teacher?
Well, I guess I got mixed up in the lines, all right.
Can't you see?
I just feel like I got mixed up in the lines.
Chief, will you let me introduce Mary's number?
Run along, Hi. I'll take care of this number.
Oh, yes? Slow down.
What's the matter?
When your eyes light up like that, your face reads like a double feature on a theater marquee.
Whatever do you mean?
Great expectations with the farmer's daughter.
I see. Suppose you just call me Earl Flynn and Cry Wolf, are
you? Gosh, Peter, I just can't wait until I meet Karen Bay.
You can have my part of it if you wish.
Why, Peter, I think he's wonderful. Isn't he supposed to be here?
That's right, but the longer he stays away, the longer I'll have with you.
That's sweet of you, Peter.
Yeah, let's you and I go over in the corner and hold hands while the mellow lark sings. I leave the opera proceed, or would have me rend some Shakespearean trivia for some.
Would rather introduce the opening number. Would. Yeah, you heard this fine singing group here on Wholesome Man and filled the mailbag with requests for encore. So for Private Charles Gould is with the 538 MP Service Company. And for all of you other guys and gals who wrote such wonderful letters, here they are, the Mellow Lot.
Thank you.
weren't they wonderful?
Oh, yes, they were. Whenever I hear them sing, it makes me want to dance.
That's fine. And how about you and I stepping out tonight? I'll take you to one of those big Hollywood parties.
That idea is intended.
Well, what's wrong with me?
Oh, so you're beginning to wonder, too.
Oh, Mary. Mary, my sweet, I'm crazy about you, Mary.
I don't know about the reason, but I agree with the fact.
Look, with you by my side, I could be beggar or king or any old thing.
Now you're getting warmer.
I could even be president. Just think, President Peter Lynn Hayes.
That's ridiculous.
What?
The voters would never get that hazy.
Now, if I were president, every family would have their own home if I had to build them myself.
If you had to build them yourself?
Yes, and eggs would be 10 cents a dozen if I had to... it'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful.
You couldn't be president with the help of Aladdin's lamp.
If I had Aladdin's lamp, I'd wish for those Arabian Nights again. You and I would go sailing along on Turn Bay. Hey, Turn Bay!
My dream man, Mr. Bay, I think you're great in pictures.
Thank you, Miss Wheeler.
You can call me Mary.
And you can call me Gerhan. Just call me the intruder. Come on, let's get on with the show here.
Come on, sir, and talk to me some more. I love your accent.
Oh, that's very convincing, brother.
How do you like that, George? He's switched on it.
Peter, don't you think Karen speaks adorable French?
Is that what it is? I thought it was the second chorus of Bleep Bleep.
Peter, Karen speaks a number of languages.
So what? I do, too.
You do? What are they?
English, Big Latin, the kind I use when I'm behind a woman driving.
No, Peter, you don't understand. Karen has that continental flavor. He has that savoir faire.
Have you tried DDP?
Be your luck, Peter. That's the question.
Oh, no. Now what you doing?
He's being dramatic. He's emoting.
I thought he was having a relapse of savoir faire.
Oh, Peter, he's a fine dramatic actor.
Mary, you've never seen my serious side. My people say I talk like Lamar. My diction's like Hepburn, my emote like Lana Turner. Gosh, this girl is killing me.
Really, Peter? Do you actually think you're a better actor than Graham?
I understand Peter was a very fine actor, Mary. Oh, definitely, sir. But you go right ahead. Act. Emote. Afterward, I'll give you my version of the very same story. All right, Peter. But first, let's get Mary sing a song. Well, okay. What are you going to sing, Mary?
For Sergeant Pete Sabalik, who's stationed at Guam, and wrote us such a nice letter, here's Ain't Misbehaving.
Continental flavor. Savoir faire. I wonder what that means.
No one to talk to, all by myself. No one to work with, but I'm happy on the shelf. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. I know for certain the one I love. I'm pretty certain it's just you I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you.
Misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you.
was really wonderful.
Thanks, Hi. Now, what's next on our list of commands?
Well, next is a letter from PFC George Corning in Germany, who writes, "Why not a spot of serious drama for some of us who really enjoy things?" Well, George, we thought it over and decided that you had a pretty good idea. So in answer to you and the many others who've requested something a little more on the serious side, we present Thorhan Bay in an original dramatic story, The Payoff.
Like a man drowning, I was remembering everything in this last shattering instant. Remembering the whole rotten scene. Right from the beginning, from the moment I sat in the black sedan on the edge of the pier. Yes, it was all coming back in one blinding flash. It was all coming back. We sat in the little sedan on the edge of the pier, Barton, Fraser, and me. They were giving me my last instructions. All the time I kept thinking, this isn't really happening. It's some fantastic dream. I found my handkerchief and wiped my forehead. Barton got a big kick out of me.
What's the matter? You getting nervous?
Just don't you worry about me getting nervous.
I keep telling you, we never worry. Is that right for you?
Yeah. Sure, worry's bad for the health.
Oh, Mom. Are you coming?
Yes, I told you I'd be with you in a minute. It was the old man waiting in the water taxi, waiting to take me out to the gambling ship. Barton and Fraser exchanged glances.
But this old man, he doesn't know anything, does he?
No, he doesn't know a thing. He just drives one of the water taxis.
All right. Give me a briefcase.
Yeah, here.
Hey, this is really a beauty. You know, when the nitro goes off, it's liable to get scratched up.
Just a little.
All right, Barton. Later on, we'll make jokes. Put the time bomb inside. Yeah. They're right along with the white gloves, the talcum powder, and the pretty-smelling cologne. Does a guy who runs a roulette table need cologne armor?
I told you to lay off, Barton. Give him the briefcase.
Okay. Here you are, Pally.
Yeah.
The detonator sets at 4:30 tomorrow morning.
4:30. That's fine. Everybody will be off the gunning by that time. Everybody except the two and the big boss.
That's why we built the bomb in the first place, Pally. With the big boss.
Come on, come on, will you? I'm going on the rocket.
I'd better be going. I'm supposed to be in a 5 by 9.
Yeah. Go ahead. Drop around tomorrow at noon for your money.
Sure.
And don't forget, be a long way from that boat by 4:30.
Don't worry.
Like we told you before, Armand, we never worry.
I watched the black sedan drive away. I watched till there was only the tiny tail light. I held the briefcase in my hand, and my heart felt as though a fist was squeezing it together. 4:30 tomorrow morning. I went over to the water taxi, where the old man was waiting.
Come on, come on. We'd better get you out to the boat quicker. The boat is really going to give you the devil.
All right, all right.
Here, give me your briefcase, huh? Put it in the compartment.
No, take your hand off it.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I just got it the other day. It cost me a great deal of money. I don't want it all banged up.
Okay, okay. But you sure think a lot of that briefcase?
Yes, I do. The ride out of the ship took 40 minutes, and all the way was agony. Just thinking about the time bomb and the briefcase. And about tomorrow, 4:30 tomorrow morning. Finally, we reached the gambling ship. I climbed over the gangplank.
I gotta go back and start picking up the suckers.
Before you go, I'll be wanting a ride back to the mainland at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. You'll be able to take me, won't you, Pop?
Yeah, sure. But ain't that a little early?
I've got an appointment in town. The boss said it was all right.
Okay, I'll be waiting for you right here at the gangplank.
Fine. And don't forget, 4 o'clock, not a minute later. It's very important.
Know me, I won't forget.
Yes, I'd learned how completely dependable the old man was. I could be certain he'd be there at 4. That made me feel a little better. I went to the locker room. No one was around. I changed to my tuxedo and slipped the briefcase into my locker. The handling it made me jumpy. I went to the washroom and had some cold water on my wrist and washed my face. And then I felt better. Then I went to the rear table. But as I was setting up my equipment, I saw I'd left my wristwatch in the restroom. And this bothered me because it was against the rules to leave our table for even a minute. That meant all night long I wouldn't know what time it was. I'd have to guess. I'd have to ask.
Yes, it's just a few minutes after 1.
Thank you.
Let me see. It's about 20 minutes of 3.
Somehow it seems later than that, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, much later.
Well, my watch stopped, but I think it must be getting close to four. At least it's... Hey, what's wrong with you here? Why does it seem?
Hey, somebody come over and help me. This guy's passed out.
How do you feel now, Alma?
Where am I?
Well, they brought you down here to the ship's dispensary. You ever have a spell like this before?
What time is it?
No, never mind.
What time is it?
Not 10 to 4.
Thank
you, sir. You're still pretty nervous, aren't you? Well, these will fix you up. Here.
What are you feeling?
A couple of grains of phenobarbital. Well, you take them, and then you can stretch out on the couch and have a few hours sleep.
No, no.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I don't want to go to sleep. I'm all right.
Yes, you're all right. The pulse is going a mile a minute. Now, either you take these pills, or I'm going to have to give you a hypo.
Oh, but, Doctor, I tell you.
It's your choice.
All right, give me the pills.
That's it. Now, here's some water. Swallow them down. Okay, now I'll leave you alone. You just stretch out on the couch, and in a few minutes, you'll be dead to the world.
I held the pills under my tongue, and the moment the doctor left the room, I spat them out. If I swallowed them and went to sleep, I couldn't even think about that. He said it was a few minutes to four. I had barely half an hour to get away. Getting out of the dispensary was easy. I hurried back to the locker room. Some of the other men were washing up, but they didn't notice me. That was the one chance I needed. I took the briefcase out and put it under the locker. I found my watch and strapped it to my wrist. It was 6 minutes after four. I had 24 minutes to get away. I went on back to the gangplank. All the passengers were gone. The water taxi was waiting. But where was Pop? I looked at my watch. I had 40 minutes to get away. Where was Pop? Where was Pop? I couldn't go looking for him. I didn't have the time. I raced down to the landing platform and jumped into the water taxi. Perhaps I could get it started myself, but no. The ignition was locked. What was I going to do? Pop, where have you been?
Oh, where have I been? You told me to be waiting here at four, didn't you?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I was here at four, only you weren't. I've been looking all over the gambling ship for you.
All right, it was 27 after four. Could relax now. Good quarter mile from the ship. There it was, behind me. Could see the red lights over my shoulder. There it was, and no one but me knew what was going to happen in just 3 minutes.
You young fellas, I don't know
no
what
one but me.
You got no sense of responsibility, no sense at all, that's a fact. Now, when I was your age...
Oh, what are you talking about now? I look at my watch again. Two more turns of the second hand. Two more turns.
Another. No responsibility. No responsibility. Oh, you ain't the only ones, Armand. There's thousands like you.
Like you. Oh, why didn't you shut up for a minute? I read my watch. I had to hold it under the dashboard light. 4:29, the second hand began his last
turn. But, yes, you're all alive. And don't tell me that briefcase didn't mean anything to
40.
You. I saw how careful
what was that you said? What did you say?
What do you mean, son? What did I say when?
Just then, just a second ago. Tell me, what did you say?
I just said that you were awful careless all of a sudden with that briefcase.
What about it? What about the briefcase? Tell me,
Ralph. Don't get excited, Armand. It's all right. It's all right. I passed your locker when I was on the boat looking for you and saw that you'd forgotten your briefcase, that's all.
What did you do with it?
Here it is, right here on the seat beside me.
Thank you, sir, and Dave.
And thank you, Peter.
Yes, no matter what anybody tells you, believe me, you were adequate.
Oh, Darren. Darren, you were wonderful. You have such power, such drive in your voice.
Such ain't bad, either. Power, drive, touch, just as I suspected. Darren, you're not really an actor.
No?
No, you're a fugitive from Madman Munch, you old cad.
Well, Peter, now's your chance to show us how you can act.
Yes, Peter, please do. Mary and I would love to see. Michelle, suppose you and your boys fiddle while Turan bathes.
Esther, the story opens one dark night on the waterfront. time?
What was that?
A tramp steamer.
Not at all, William. As I was saying, the story opens one dark night on the waterfront.
There's a black sedan parked near the dock. Three men are talking.
This one's dynamite. Yeah, here's a real sizzler.
How can you guys sit here at a time like this reading an Esquire?
Yeah, Pete is right. Have you got the soup in the furnace?
Sure.
How is it? Good. Good. That's how Fraser's soup done. Good.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Coming, Mother.
Hey, what was that?
It ain't Melty Arcudis, it's Pops. It's an old...
It's Pops, just an old guy who runs the water taxi.
Well, all right, here's your briefcase. All fixed up. A sandwich, an orange, and a nice thermos bottle. Only instead of coffee, it's loaded with nitro.
I hope you didn't forget the sugar and cream.
One swig of that stuff and you'll be an Adam Farm with legs.
Come on, I'm
all right, Pop, I'll be with you in a minute.
Now, remember, the detonator's set for 4:30 tomorrow morning.
Come on, are you coming?
All right, Pop, all right. Now get going. I ran to the end of the dock and jumped into the taxi.
Didn't jump far enough.
There I was, under the water, in as embarrassing a situation as I ever found myself. I forgot my fountain pen. I finally managed to get back into the water taxi. I still had the briefcase, but I'd lost my watch. As usual, I didn't even know what time it was. I'd have to guess. I'd have to ask. Pardon me, sir, do you have the time?
Nah.
Pardon me, madam. Do you have the time?
Yes, but not the inclination.
Pardon me, sir. You have a wristwatch there. What time is it?
I don't know. Business is bad, and I laid off one of my hands.
My stomach.
Hey, explain it. Hey, I'll give him a switch from his thermos.
There. That's bringing him to. You'll feel all right.
Hey, who opened that thermos?
I did. I gave you a drink from it.
What?
Anything wrong?
Wrong. Somebody stop rocking this boat. Keep me right set up. Don't shake me.
How do you feel now, son?
Where am I?
In the ship's center.
What time is it?
3:30. So you need some rest. A long sleep. Here. Take this pill.
Uh-uh.
Oh, come on. It's not going to hurt you.
That's what you think. I got to get out of here.
Come on now, take this pill.
Okay, Doc, now how can I refuse you? That's such a persuasive manner. Now, will you put me down? Good thing I thought of holding the pill under my tongue. After the doc left, I got out of the dispensary. I went to the washroom, got the briefcase out from under the locker. It was nearly 4 o'clock. I was going to be all right. I jumped into the waiting water taxi.
What a pipe for a salmon.
Anyway, I managed to get in the boat, and I started the motor. Running down the gangplank. Come on, jump!
Pop should have worn his glasses.
It was 27 after 4. We were a good quarter mile from the ship.
What's the hurry? Last night you were late and took your time. This morning you got loads of time and you hurry. You must have ants in your pants.
I have 55 seconds more, 50 seconds more, 45
your
seconds.
Your young son can't keep your mind on one thing. Now take that briefcase. But then I guess I was the same at your age.
Yeah, 35 seconds, 30, 25. What did you say?
I was saying when I was your age, girls used to come from miles around to see me.
Uh-huh.
I had the corner on black market corset string.
Hey, no, Pop, never mind that. What were you saying now?
I said I had the corner on the...
Before that!
I used to run around with a bicycle pump and blow up muscles.
No, what were you saying about the briefcase?
What's the matter with you? What are you so up in the air about?
I guess that answers your question, Pop. Peter Lenage will be back as soon as he has a chance to collect himself. Meanwhile, we take another trip into Old Command mailbag and come up with a fine letter from Private Bobby G. Crow, who's with the 51st Constabulary Squadron over there in Landshut, Germany. Well, Bobby, our my superior didn't have the number you requested in his files, but he and the Mellow Larks have dreamed up another solid earful we hope you'll like just as well. Here they are with the Fat Man Blues.
Fat man, don't get the fat man blues.
Thank you.